The Urban Beat with Jerome Grant.
The issues, the answers.
The Urban Beat on Mix 95.7.
Good morning and welcome to Urban Beat. I'm your host, Jerome Graham. And it's been said when you go to an event, are you related to so-and-so? You know what? You look like you got some blood in you. You look kind of different. Well, if we start tracing back our roots, we get surprised at who we're related to, what our ancestry is, who we're linked to. And this morning we have the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Gary Franklin, who does just that. He is the genealogy expert. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Great.
Thank you for that glowing and probably a bit exaggerated introduction.
Oh, man, look here. You tell the truth. I'm going to let you introduce yourself and talk about how you got involved into genealogy.
Okay. Well, again, I'm Gary Franklin, born and bred here in Toledo. I got interested in genealogy as a very young child and was taught and fed that passion mainly by my mother, who had learned a great deal about her family history from her father and her mother, which proved to be a blessing for me because I got to start out with knowing so much information and so many of my ancestors off the bat. My father's side of the family, however, was a big mystery because his parents didn't talk about their family. And they didn't talk about where they grew up or what they did growing up, et cetera. And I had to burst through some myths. I had to fill in a lot of empty spaces. But to my great surprise and pleasure, I've been fortunate enough to get back many generations beyond my grandparents, because as I say, they refuse to talk about their family.
You know, a lot of,
so that's how I got started. Again, the main thing was that piqued my interest was when my mother's father died, and I was 4 years old, but all of his cousins came to Toledo for the funeral, and I, as a four-year-old, was fascinated by all of these really, really old adults that were dressed to the T. They were professional, they were clean, they were articulate, and after the funeral, they all sat around the dining room table and started sharing stories about the family history. And even at that age, I was fascinated and continued to ask my mother questions as I was growing up. Fast forward to adulthood, I did some research when I was in college and beyond, but it wasn't until I moved to Washington, D.C. for work and was now living in the city with the National Archives and the Library of Congress that this became my daily passion.
So that opened up some doors for you. That created some opportunities for you. And you took advantage of them.
When I started to keep in mind, that was before the internet. So all of my research was done in libraries and archives using microfilm and wandering around in the stacks, et cetera, et cetera. We didn't have online resources that we do today. But with the internet, interest in genealogy has exploded across the country.
So you really weren't influenced like many of us by Alex Haley and Roots and Dr. Louis Skip Gates, those leaders, I would say, in that industry, even though Brother Haley's gone on. Those weren't your influences. Yours was more of an internal influence from your mother. Pretty safe to say,
Because all the things that she was telling me that our ancestors did and accomplished during the slavery era, during the Reconstruction era after the war, and on into the 20th century, didn't jive with the impression of slavery and enslaved people and African Americans and education or employment that I was learning in school in our history classes and whatnot. Because I would come home and say, well, this is all they told us in school, but you're saying we did this and this and this. And so my mother said, yeah, look it up for yourself, which I did.
So having access to the materials in Washington, to the resources in Washington, that kind of gave you a leg up considering that anyone else who wanted to get started, let's say in the 70s, they didn't have that access. They really had to put in the work, but you had a kind of an open door in when you went to Washington. Is that true?
Yeah. And I was fortunate for that that benefit. In fact, during the winter months, actually autumn, winter, and early spring, I would get off work at 5:30 or 6, hop the subway, get downtown, and I'd be at the archive from 6:30 to either 9 or 10 o'clock at that time, every night of the week, during the week, and all day Saturday, because it was just fascinating. It was all-consuming, and the winter weather was cold anyway, so why just sit at home watching TV? Because I couldn't get outside. But, again, back then you had to do everything in person. And, fortunately, some of the key records that are at the archives are at regional archives throughout the country and state libraries, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, being in D.C. was a leg up, and I really appreciated that.
Tell me, how difficult is it if someone is interested in doing genealogy? How difficult is it getting started?
Getting started overall, generally, is not that difficult at all. People tend to make things difficult because they think you've got to be able to do this and do that and do it in order to learn anything. But really, starting out in your genealogy journey is very simple, because the first thing you really need to do is sit down and write down what you already know. So you want to write down, and there are chart templates online for you to use to develop a pedigree chart, where you'll start with yourself, list your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and going back successive generations for what you do know. Don't worry about what you don't know. Don't worry about the number of blanks on the page because you don't know. Write down what you do know. Go through your house. Find photo albums. Find church records, find any documents related to your own personal history, because you want to start with yourself and amass everything that you have at your fingertips or that you have been told, and then do the same thing for each of your parents and each of anybody else in your tree that you've been able to identify, because it will help you a lot to write down what you know, because that shows you what you don't know. And the second step that is most recommended is then starting using the United States Federal Census, which is now available online at FamilySearch.org or Ancestry.com and a couple other places. But starting with the 1940 census, because that's the last census that has been made available to the public because of privacy laws. Census record results have to remain private for 72 years from the date that the census was taken. So 1940 was the last census that's currently available. Next, in 2022, the 1950 census will be made available because 72 years will have passed.
Yes.
Actually, I need to double check. It's either, next year. With COVID, I've forgotten what year I'm in. 2021 just flew by. So anyway, 1950 census will be available next year. But you start in that census and find your ancestor that was living in 1940, whether that was you or whether it was your parents or whether it was your grandparents. Find your first close relative, direct ancestor that you know of, and find them in the 1940 census. Copy down everything you see in that record. You'll see who's listed in the same household with that person. Hopefully, it'll be, for example, your grandparents and your parents and aunts and uncles. Once you get all the information from 1940, you go back to 1930 and look for all those people you found in 1940. Hmm. And then when you've done that, go back to 1920, all the way back as far as you can go. The first U.S. census was taken in 1790. However, for African Americans, the first census that listed all black folks in the country was in 1870, which was the first census taken after the Civil War and after the end of slavery. Now, that doesn't mean there are no African-Americans, no black people in census records before 1870. Mm-hmm. But in order to be in those records before 1870, they had to be free persons of color.
That's interesting.
And there's way more information to follow up on that, but I don't want to belabor with too much detail. Start with yourself. Write down everything that you know and have been told. Organize it. Cite your sources. Even if it's just oral, write down who told you that in case you need to go back and to that person and get more information. And then, as I say, move to the census records, starting with the most recent, and then going back as far as you can. For getting started, that'll get most people busy for a while.
It certainly would. I never heard it explained to that extent. That was a step-by-step approach in getting it done. So I really appreciate that. And I'm sure that the radio station will probably get some calls, or you'll probably get some calls, because we're going to ask you how to get in touch with you, or the best way to get in touch with you or your organization at some point. So anyone listening, please have something to write with. And remember, he said, you start by talking to your family members, then you go back and look at 1940, and then you start looking at the people listed in 1940 and go to 1930 and just keep going back as far as you can go, and who knows what you might find. Mr. Franklin, are there organizations or clubs around that people can get involved in? Are there local organizations around Toledo?
There are local organizations. I, of course, don't know them all, but there is a group called Journey Genealogy Group, which is committed to the study of African-American genealogy and focusing on Northwestern Ohio, but researching anywhere we need to, anywhere our members want to research. We've been on hiatus since COVID, but we're hopeful that we'll get started back in person, hopefully in January. There's another group called Toledo Area Genealogical Society, which is a general genealogy group, but that's local. There are national organizations for African Americans. There's an organization called the African American Historical and Genealogical Society. It's a national organization with local chapters. Unfortunately, there's not a local chapter here in Toledo for that organization. But in other cities, and especially major cities across the country, there's local genealogy groups you can join. I happen to belong to several because of where my research interests are. But I belong to the African American Genealogical Society of Cleveland, the Oberlin African American Genealogy and History Group.
That would be in Oberlin, Ohio?
Oberlin, Ohio, because there was a branch of my family that was emancipated in the 1840s. And they moved to Oberlin in the 1850s. Hmm. Not a direct line of mine. It's my great-grandmother's mother, so my third great-grandmother, and her youngest daughter and her husband moved the family to Oberlin. I belong to a similar group in Chicago because a good portion of my family left the South and moved to Chicago.
I think that was called the Great Migration, wasn't it?
Exactly. My family origins on my mother's side come out of North Carolina originally, from what I've been able to document, and then our family was taken while enslaved to Alabama, and then post-slavery migrated beyond from there. As I say, the furthest back, or the origin documented, I know in North Carolina, but before North Carolina, several of those lines actually started in Virginia. And I'm in the middle of the task of trying to document who and where and how far back. But I am back into the 1700s already. And I may well be able to make a leap into the 1600s. So we'll see what goes with that.
Well,
but as far as local organizations, as I say, I named the two in Toledo, but you can go online and just do a Google search for genealogy societies in Ohio or African-American genealogy groups and see where they are and how close they are and what they cost. With COVID, so many local groups have moved their meetings from in-person to Zoom meetings. So even though I, before COVID, had belonged to a number of organizations outside of Toledo and even in other states, I obviously wasn't going to their monthly meetings with any regularity. But with COVID and everybody moving to Zoom, or so many moving to Zoom, I actually have a genealogy club meeting every weekend, and loads of learning to do online through webcasts, live streaming webinars, Zoom meetings, etc., throughout the week. So it's kept me very busy.
Is there usually a membership fee to join these organizations?
Very often there are. They don't turn away guests, generally speaking, so you can attend a meeting. But the membership fees are generally very low as $10, average around $20, $25. And depending on the group and how big they are, they might go as high as $40 or $50. But generally, the ones that I belong to are in the $20 range. For their online meetings, their Zoom meetings, they would like to know who you are so they can know who they're letting into the room. So obviously, if you're a member, you don't have a problem. If you're not a member, then they probably are more open to people whose names they've been given by other members. So it's the same as anything in the Zoom world these days, so I'm not going to belabor that point. But I wouldn't let the worry of a membership fee hold anybody back from getting in touch and seeing what their the group's individual rules and practices and et cetera are. But as I say, the Zoom meetings and everything else have been great, a godsend, because you really couldn't do, if you couldn't do the research online, couldn't find what you wanted online, then you have to go physically to the repository where those records are. And of course, during COVID, everything was shut down, so you couldn't.
Right.
So having so many groups with their meetings online, it kept the genealogy research activity going. We didn't have to shut down just because you couldn't go to a library or an archive. Things are opening up, and that's great. But again, don't let fees deter you. Check it out. I would encourage people in the Toledo area to go to the main branch of the Toledo Lucas County Public Library downtown, to the third floor, to the local history and genealogy center. They have a great staff and a huge collection. It's one of the better genealogy and local history collections of public libraries in the state of Ohio. But their staff will be glad to sit down with you and help you get started. Again, the Journey Genealogy Group, when they are meeting, meet the second Saturday of the month, of each month, most recently at the Mott branch of the library. And again, hopefully we'll start that back up in January.
Excellent, excellent. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Gary Franklin, and Gary is an expert in the area of genealogy. And of course, that's studying and researching your ancestry, your family history. Mr. Franklin, how would someone get in touch with you or your organization if they wanted to follow up to this conversation that we're having?
I guess I would suggest emailing me at gfrank1040@gmail.com.
All right. Now, you mentioned that you guys are going to be getting together and talking on a regular basis, hopefully in January, if things work out. But can you share with me, are you familiar with the, and I hope I'm saying this right, the Great Migration in Toledo? Was there a quote-unquote activity that was identified as the Great Migration of Blacks to Toledo, or did it have another name, or did it happen so quietly nobody paid it attention?
No, it definitely happened. In fact, there was a significant, well, first of all, the Great Migration, for our listeners, refers to the almost mass movement of people, of African Americans, from southern state, former slave state, to the north, to the Midwest, and to the west and beyond. And the height of the Great Migration started after 1900, certainly kicked up in the 1910s, which is when my paternal grandparents moved that decade. Exploded after World War I. For a variety of reasons, both job availability, et cetera. But also you had all these black soldiers that went to Europe and fought in the war and were treated well and like anybody else by the Europeans, by and large, only to come back home after serving your country and facing Jim Crow and employment issues and sharecropping poor jobs in the cities and everything. So there was a great migration to the north, again, fueled by employment, fueled by the rise of manufacturing plants and whatnot that needed employees. And of course, after that major war, you know, you have a workforce that was significantly diminished as well. Toledo benefited by that movement. In fact, there is a short report that was written by Mrs. Ella P. Stewart, the renowned pharmacist back in the day and civil rights leader in Toledo. But she did a study in the 1930s, or a report on the occupations of African-Americans in Toledo, I think from 1900 to the date she wrote it in the 1930s. But it talks about the increase of population of African-Americans almost doubling. And anytime you have that greater influx of any group of people that weren't there before, then the whole area has to shift and change and adjust. Was usually greeted initially with a certain level of hostility. But that history is fascinating, and more people are looking at it and studying it as well.
Do you also do consultant work if someone's interested in having you come in and talk to a group or their family, for that matter? Do you do consultant work, and is there a charge for that? Well, it should be if it's not, but anyway.
Technically, I haven't been doing that much that I charge for. I have been doing a fair amount with friends and associates that want some help getting started. So I do that. For people I don't know or who don't know me, they can feel free to contact me, and I'd be glad to have an initial conversation with them. Quite frankly, I'll probably want to start them off anyway, because helping other people get started and having to learn their family to get them started helps me, because it generally has me looking at records that I might not need because my family weren't involved in those records, but somebody else's family might be. So it's another way for me to hone my research skills in areas that I might not otherwise even bother looking at because my family weren't involved there. So I'm not doing consultation formally, but I will on an ad hoc basis. And whether I charge or not depends on the amount of work that's necessary. So I'm not going to do a person's research for them. I'm going to work with them and show them how to get started and how to do it for themselves. Kind of like that teaching how to fish thing.
Well, it does make them more efficient if they do it themselves, and then they will be less likely to have to return back to you and ask, well, can you help me move to the next step? Because you've already sharpened their skills or prepared them to move to the next step anyhow.
Right.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Is there anything that you want to share with the people in the last couple of minutes that we have? And certainly if you could go back over those steps again, I think that would be helpful.
Well, the first thing I'd say is don't let people tell you that because your ancestors were enslaved that you can't find anything out about them. That's not the case at all. It can be, but don't be one of those folks that give up before you get started, because there are workarounds. So again, start with yourself. Write down everything that you know, everything that you've been told. Make a notation where you found that information or who told it to you so you can go back. Fill out a pedigree sheet because that will help give you a visual. Those forms and other related forms the genealogists use can be found online. One good place to find them is FamilySearch.org, FamilySearch, all one word, .org. Another website is Cindy's List, C-Y-N-D-I apostrophe S, Cindy's List. And that has a whole lot of resources and forms and links to sites to help you do your research. But again, don't let people think that I don't know anything, so I'm not going to get started, or I can't get beyond whatever you think your brick wall is. We work through those, and I'm certainly glad to help anybody try to break through those brick walls.
Excellent.
Again, I would seek out a local genealogy group or a genealogy group in the state that you're interested in researching, because they can help you, and it's helpful to network and meet people that when you have a problem, you can pick up the phone or send an email, and they know who you are and will respond. The types of records you'll be looking for when you first get started, beyond what you can accumulate from inside your house, census records, vital records like birth, marriage, death certificates, cemetery information, keeping in mind and monitoring migration patterns of your family. Because remember, when somebody left the South to go north to look for a better job, once they got up there, they sent money back home to bring the families up. And so tracking your collateral relatives, your aunts and uncles or your great aunts, great uncles, cousins, all that kind of stuff, somebody you're looking for may not be where you thought they should have been, but they moved to the city and state where their cousin was and said, come up here, you can get a job. So it's a mystery story, but it's a fun mystery story because you're Sherlock Holmes doing all the research and making all the discoveries.
Most excellent. Well, look, we're out of time, unfortunately, and I think we've got to bring you back because this information is stimulating, and certainly it makes one think, and you've laid a great platform. We're going to give out your email address for anyone that wants to get in touch with you, and that's gfrank1040@gmail.com. That's Mr. Gary Franklin. And he is a genealogy expert. He can help you. Reach out for him and say, man, that was a great interview. I want to go further. Mr. Franklin, thank you for taking the time this morning. We appreciate you, man.
Well, thanks for inviting me. And, I think I mentioned when we talked over the phone, it's hard to get a genealogist to only talk for 15 or 20 minutes. Because once you get us started, hey, we're passionate about it. It's fun. So I invite everybody to explore it. One of the key reasons I do it is so often, and certainly in my generation, we were raised not hearing much about African Americans and their contribution to this country. If we don't research our own history and document it, I won't say that nobody will, but you're not going to guarantee that they'll get it right.
So true. Again, thank you. And I want to thank you, the listener, for listening this morning. I know this has been a very informative program. I'm your host, Jerome Graham, and we thank our producer, Mr. Chris McClendon, and we want you to go out and make today a great day.
The Urban Beat
with Jerome Graham on Mix 95.7.